Okay, so we can have a short period of question answers, open it up for questions, and just for about 15-20 minutes. Then we'll have a little bit of a break and then come back. We want to break things up. So if anybody has a question, raise your hand, and we'll have a floating mic going around to so that the online people can hear the questions. So it's also, because it's online as well, please keep your questions succinct. Okay, there's that.
Even during this short sitting, as soon as mind settles down and feel mind is concentrated, the first part of the body that goes away from the awareness is my hands. Hands feel like they're twisted or in the air.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure why it is that. The other part, posture and the legs feel fine, and I know where they are and there's how they are situated, but hands go off the awareness.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Yes.
which is I mean, that's one of the things with say meditation and settling the mind. You do have to be prepared for some weirdnesses. I mean, it's not strange. But it's not how we would normally perceive. So then, I mean, that's where like taking a certain sweeping attention through the body so that everything is included. Just like sometimes when you begin a meditation, to just consciously go through the aspects of from the top of the head down to the soles of the feet back to the top of the head, not in an analytical way or like in a 32 parts of the body contemplation, but more of a oh, here I am, this body, this mind, and just kind of integrating it, picturing it, allowing it to be all present, and a sense of establishing a quality of loving kindness. And I think I used the last Saturday night talk that I gave, I used a phrase or an idiom of befriending the breath, befriending the body. And it's sort of like that befriending it, allowing it all to be present, is an interesting way to prepare the mind before you start to settle too much. Because sometimes when we do settle really quickly, then bits of us fall off to the wayside. So, no, they just sort of disappear. So it's a but as I said, you know, it is a once we start dealing with the mind, then you know, you have to be comfortable with things not necessarily always fitting into our quote unquote normal perception of things. I mean, generally, everything gets clearer and more peaceful, but then sometimes that's not the case. So there's I think that establishing of a quality of loving kindness and attention to the breath, the body being kind of accepted and befriended and okay, I'm here, we're all here together, is a useful way of integrating. And that's, again, that word integrating that I used right at the beginning of the talk. You start realizing that we do tend to either push away or don't attend to aspects of our experience that are either uninteresting or problematic for us. So then to shifting attention so that we're integrating our different aspects, and that's why, as the Buddha's saying, the development of mindfulness of breathing is a development of the four foundations of mindfulness: body, feeling, mind, mental phenomena. So that it all belongs, and has a place, but sometimes it's just having that awareness and acceptance, and also paying attention to the feeling, in terms of is it comfortable or not comfortable, because sometimes we can have aspects of our experience drop away, but it's not uncomfortable. There's not. It doesn't feel out of the ordinary. At other times, it does. So then, it's important to sort of pay attention to that feeling, and then bringing a kindness to that, so that it's also welcome. It's there. Questions are also available for people outside. We do have a floating mic, so there's if anybody, there's a overflow to the outside. There's also empty seats on the inside, but it's as a group. Yes, certainly.
I was wondering if you can speak a little bit more on that progression of mindfulness of breathing, and then the four foundations of mindfulness that developed the seven factors of awakening. And is it like this, that kind of like talk last night, or is it more like a?
That's a big subject. So, but it is, I think, useful to be, because when we use mindfulness of breathing, then there are these different aspects, realms of experience that we want to be attentive to or primary focus on, so that there, yes, primary focus is the breath coming in, the breath going out. But then there's also within that, then there's the body, feeling, mind, mental phenomena, so that we can be, there is the breath sensation or the breath coming in, going out, but then we, and those are that's the first two steps of the mindfulness of breathing discourse, where the Buddha says the knowing that one is breathing in a short breath, one knows one's breathing in a short breath. As one's breathing out a short breath, one knows. So there, and as one breathes in long and out long, one knows. So that one is then extending that awareness. It's not just focusing in on a tiny bit of sensation. It's sort of recognizing and being willing to contemplate, is this a long breath or a short breath? Is this, and then even within the long breath and short breath, there can be different qualities. Because sometimes, you know, when the, say, if you're experience some kind of strong mood or something, you can have a, it's kind of a short breath. I mean, in the sense of the breath gets a little bit ragged. So that it's sort of, okay, that's a short breath, but there's a kind of ragged quality to it that is not so comfortable, and it's precipitated by you know. So there's some analysis going on, some recognition of what's going on. It's not just trying to blot everything out and hang on to the sensation of the breath. Sometimes you have a short breath, and the short breath is because you're so peaceful, and everything feels so settled that there's just a wisp of a breath, and just a little wisp of a breath comes in, a wisp of a breath goes out. It's a very short breath, but it's all one needs, because the body's so relaxed and settled. Long breath is similar. Sometimes it's a very calming to have this long breath. But it's more like not controlling the breath, but recognizing there's these different modulations of the breath. So that's attention to the body. And as one uses that as the foundation, then you can start paying attention to how does that integrate to the rest of the body? How can I pay attention to calming? Because it is important that we use this meditation as an opportunity for calming, for settling, for making tranquil. So that conscious attention to settling and calming, what helps the body, the breath, the mind feel more calm. And so it's not sort of like, yes, the breath is primary, the body is is your sort of framework for attention. But then it's also you're starting to recognize how it integrates into the different feelings. Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Is it just neutral? When it's pleasant, it's, you know, it's kind of fun to pay attention to. When it's unpleasant, then it's you want to escape. Or when it's neutral, then we just don't bother and we go off into either dullness or fantasy or some other escape from the present moment. So how do I keep this awareness? Because the mindfulness is the key feature that we're using, that mindfulness of the breath, the mindfulness of breathing, as the sensation of the breath, the experience of the breath, as a vehicle for cultivating and making much of mindfulness, being more alert, being more present, and then it's starting to integrate, as I say, it goes starting to integrate it into this experience of the body, or this simple rhythm of the breath is tied to everything. It's tied to our feelings. It's tied to our experience of the mind. What are the mental states? Because sometimes the breath and the experience of the body is a really great mirror for what is the state of the mind. And what's the content of the mind? Is it a mind with greed? Is it a mind without greed? Is it a mind with ill will? Is it a mind without ill will? Is it a mind with delusion? Is it a mind without delusion? So there's this kind of investigation going on. Is it a contracted mind? Is it expansive? Is it a bright mind? Is it a dull mind? Is it a settled mind? Is it a restless mind? So that there, you're using that, the thread of continuity is the experience of the breath coming in, the breath going out. But it's tying together to the other foundations of mindfulness. You have another question?
No, I just noticed a theme and was going to comment. So like interest in the breath.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's interest in the breath. So that's one of the... In terms of the, say, the various sets of teachings that the Buddha gives, there's one set of teachings that are called the four bases of spiritual success. And the first base of spiritual success is in Pali is chanda. And literally it means desire. And oftentimes I have translated it, talked about it as interest. There's a desire to know, a desire to experience, a desire to kind of understand this practice and this spiritual path. And so it's taking an interest in this. I mean, we're breathing in and out anyway, but taking an interest in it changes. It's a game changer. So, okay, one last question.
thank you for your invitation on making the investigation of mindfulness as this open kind of exploration. You did speak a little bit about the pranayama breathing style, but in cultivating mindfulness and exploring the mind stilling, at what point, or could you speak a little bit about the utility or usefulness in intentionally breathing or using the breath as a means of calming the mind if, as we notice, the breath is short and quick and the mind is agitated? Is there a time and a way to intentionally cultivate that activity?
Yeah, absolutely. Although it's not as formalized or structured or as intricate as, say, yogic Indian pranayama traditions and techniques, still it's important to learn to pay attention to what happens when I modulate the breath in a way that helps to settle or to become more clear or to be more energetic? Because sometimes just by... like I remember Ajahn Chah sort of saying, well, you know, people... So, one of the problems people face is their mind is really restless and is thinking a lot. He said, that's really easy to deal with. Just breathe in really deeply and don't breathe out. He said, that restless mind will stop. So it's like using the breath to kind of grab that attention, and because sometimes with like restless thinking, it just is sort of it's just this impulsive thinking. So sometimes just using your breath in that way, or really making attending to the deepness of the, making sure it's a really deep breath that really fills the body, And then let's say, because there is, in the Anapanasati discourse, the Buddha talks about one being aware of the whole body, but then also of calming the bodily formations. And the bodily formations are synonymous with the in-breath and the out-breath. So that calm is consciously calming the in-breath and out-breath in a way that helps the whole system to become more calm. And sometimes one needs to, you know, because sometimes you can be sitting and you get too calm. And you know, you get kind of dull and drifty. It's somewhat pleasant, but it's not very alert and not very mindful. So then sometimes just really using a bit forceful breath for a few breaths, and then reestablish mindfulness. It sort of picks it up. So you can be using the breath, playing with the breath, and paying attention to how to skillfully modulate the breath, because it is our closest experience to us on a moment-to-moment basis. But as I said, it's hard for me to compare to pranayama. I don't have any skill in it. I've dabbled in it as a young monk when you're trying to learn everything, but it's you know, sort of outside of my realm of experience. So but I think, you know, certainly in that is, say, in pranayamic traditions, what you're trying to do is bring up energy and concentration.